Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
But here, we really want to get into the depths in these 3 weeks of what it means to walk by faith. And now, if you weren't here as I shared the story of our son's healing, I really don't have time to go into that today, but I'm going to refer back to it as you understand the action of faith. I want to talk to you about what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Next week, we're going to delve into the prayer of faith. And this is so, I don't even have words to say how important it is to know how to live, move, and have your being in faith, because the Bible said without it, it's impossible to please God. Now, let me tell you what faith doesn't do. Faith does not initiate any action from God. Faith does not cause God to do something that he hasn't thought about doing. Most people think when they pray is when God decides. Lord, I ask you, and he's in heaven, and he's going, well, let me see. No. Or maybe. Or here's what most of us are. Let me give you a list, and then we'll see. Most people think that asking God, when you pray, and I'm talking now in the term, understand there are many types of prayer. There are many, many different kinds of prayer listed in the Bible. Prayer is a lot like sports. There's basketball, football, baseball, lacrosse, soccer, volleyball, on and on and on. They're all sports, but they all operate from different rules. There are different rules or different scriptural standards for different types of prayer. There are certain types of prayer that the Bible tells you you should pray over and over and over and over again. Do you know that there's a type of prayer called the prayer of worship? How many of you know you should have the prayer of worship? You could pray that if you could 1,000 times a day to worship God. It would be wonderful. You pray that over and over again. There's a prayer in the Bible of dedication and consecration to God. You can do that 1,000 times a day if you chose to. There's praying for one another or intercessory prayer. You can do that over and over. But then there's something called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is a one-time prayer. It requires that you believe something when you pray. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says you are to believe when you pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith believes it receives something when it prays independently of what it sees. And we're going to get into the depths of the prayer of faith next week. Now, when our son was diagnosed with autism, and we went through I spent really 2 weeks on it, back in the series on miracles and healing. How many of you had a great time in that series? Wasn't that an incredible time in the presence of God? Oh, by the way, we're not done with miracles and healing. We just aren't going to be making it the emphasis when I teach. But I'm expecting God to move by his power every service we come in here. How about you? Hey, is he alive or isn't he? Then let's believe for him to show himself alive in our midst. But it's so important that we understand that in this context, as I was sharing with our son, When he was diagnosed, we spent time, put the word of God in our heart. Then we went to a certain place the Lord led us to go to have him prayed for. And it was that point when we had him prayed for that we made our stand. And we began to believe what God said about our son was true, no matter what it looked like. And I want to take you a little bit into that understanding of the faith life today. I wish this is something I could take 30, 35 minutes and clearly explain, but you can't. So it's so important that you just don't kind of hit this once and leave. It's important that you take these next 3 weeks. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, the Bible says. This is important stuff in your spiritual life. Say, but it's Christmas. I'm too busy for God. Yeah. How many of you know that? Isn't it true? I'm just too busy for God. After his birthday, I'll talk to him. Okay, so anyway, okay, that went over. Okay, it wasn't funny then. Okay, so it might have went over your head there. But faith does not initiate anything out of God. Faith responds to what God has already done in Christ. Faith responds to the accomplished fact of Christ's redemption. Faith is a response to the will of God. Faith can only be exercised. Faith can only be expressed where the will of God is known. And yet most Christians, they can't pray in faith because they don't even know God's will in the matter. Now, there are times in the Bible when you are told to pray if it be the will of the Lord. And then there are times you're not. Anything that Jesus died for, you don't have to ask the will of God. It's the will of God determined. Jesus said, I only do those things which please my Father. In the redemption of Jesus, you see the expressed will of God. You see what he purchased for you. That's God's will expressed. Yet the Bible tells us in this case, we should pray if it be the will of God. For example, he said, don't say that I'm going to go to such and such a city and get a job there and make increase financially or gain in my life. You should say, if it's the will of the Lord for me to go to that city, I'll go. In other words, the Bible's saying you're not your own. You don't get to pick what you do and where you go with your life. Jesus is the Lord of your life. That means you're submitted to him. How many of you know, if God said to you, let's just say you had a great job opportunity, he said, I'm moving to Cleveland. Wouldn't that be horrible? But you know, we have people in our church that are from Cleveland. They really are. We even have Browns fans in our church. Now, they're not in this room. We have a special room for them. It's right. We have an old toilet and I'm just teasing. We love Browns fans. In fact, how many of you are reading about all the blood moon stuff? End time stuff. Anybody reading any of that? I can tell you there's one of the greatest end time movements right now. I know it's the end of time. The Cleveland Browns are almost in first place in our division. Jesus has got to be coming back pretty soon. But you don't get to say, I'm going to go do this or I'm going to go get through that. You say, Lord, if it's your will, I'll do that. And you learn to determine and ascertain the will of God in those matters. But in anything Jesus shed his blood for, the will of God is already determined. And what you need to understand about walking by faith isn't demanding anything of God. Walking by faith is the greatest act of humility you'll ever have in your life. Walking by faith is when everything around you is screaming one thing, you submit yourself to what God said, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody says, no matter what it feels like. But you humble yourself and say, let God be true and every man a liar. It's not a position of pride. It's not a position of presumption, which many would say. So who are you to make a demand of God? No one should make a demand of God. But I would submit to you that faith is what pleases God. It takes humility to walk by faith. It takes humility to say everything I've seen, everything I've experienced with my life, everything I've been told, everything I've ever learned, if it's contrary to what God said, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt me in due time and let God be true in my life. And I will not be governed by what I've experienced, seen, felt, or been told. I'll be governed by the word of God. It's an act of humility to walk by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3 with me. Galatians 3, we'll read verse 13, 14, then verse 29. It is critical to know that faith is a response to the accomplishments of Christ's redemption. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has already redeemed us. Say it out loud. I'm already redeemed. That's past tense, isn't it? Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. For by being made a curse for us, he took our place. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order or so that the blessing of Abraham, say the blessing of Abraham. So the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say it out loud, curse of the law. Well, that's wonderful, Pastor. I'm redeemed from the curse. What's the curse? Well, I'll take some time. Write this down, Deuteronomy 28. Read Deuteronomy 28 and you'll see the curse of the law. Under the curse of the law, it's basically threefold, fourfold. You can see spiritual death, separation from God, not knowing God, going into darkness is under the curse. You'll see under the curse of the law is sickness and disease. Poverty is under the curse. Mental anguish, mental torment, mental disease under the curse of the law. Your children not serving God is under the curse of the law. Christ has already redeemed you from the curse of the law. How? By being made the curse for you, for it is written, cursed is everyone who's hung on the tree. In order that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Now, you may not have enough of a Bible background. Let me help you. When I say the Gentiles, you might say, well, what's that really mean? There are only three people groups recognized by God on the planet. They have nothing to do with race or ethnicity or national origin. There are only three people groups recognized in heaven today. There is the Jew, That is the offspring and the lineage of Abraham. There is the Gentile, which is anybody who's not a Jew. And then the third people group is the church. God distinguishes between those three people groups. And anything other than those three people groups is bigotry. But God does give some distinctions between those three people groups. How many of you know that God tells a believer not to marry an unbeliever? Did you know that? Let me try this out of the church. Did you know that? So if God tells you, see, this is how faith works. God tells you, as a believer, don't marry an unbeliever. Correct? I didn't make that up. It's in the B-I-B-L-E. That's a book for me, right? If you walk by faith, it means you're governed by that, not by, well, pickings are slim at the house of God. I got to get somebody somewhere. So you go bring you a rascal out of the Gentile world, try to bring that rascal into the church, and he's going to get what you call girl religion. That's enough religion to get the girl. I thought he was sweet. He said he was. Well, he lied. Now you got him. I just love, Pastor, I love him. I can't live without him. Now you can't live with him. Here's the deal. Three people groups. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on those who did not have a covenant with God. Aren't you glad I'm not a Jew? That meant me. But I do want you to know this is in the Bible. I know you think I'm joking, but it really is. Acts chapter 10, the first people that came to Christ outside of the Jewish faith. In Acts 10, Cornelius, and the Bible said he was an Italian. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I have a theory. I won't go into it. It's unbiblical, so I'll leave it. But Cornelius, I believe his last name was Nuzzo, but I can't prove that. But you can't disprove it either. But God said, I want my blessing to come on the Gentile, not just the Jew, but on the Gentile through Jesus Christ. Now, listen to these words. That you might receive the promise. Receive the promise. Everyone say, receive the promise. He didn't say that the promise might be granted or given by God when you beg for it. He said the promise has to be received. Why? Because Christ has already redeemed you. Faith makes a demand on that redemption. Faith receives what Christ already purchased through his death, burial, and resurrection. The promise must be received by what? By faith. So it's the action of faith that enables you to receive the promise of God. Now look at verse 29. If you belong to Christ, how many of you belong to Christ? Then are you Abraham's seed and you are an heir according to the promise. Say out loud, I'm an heir according to the promise. What's that mean? It means it belongs to you. When Michelle and I pass from this earth, our three children, whatever we have left is going to be theirs. They didn't do a thing to deserve it. They are our heirs. So anything we have, and I think the greatest thing you ever give your children is a spiritual heritage and a spiritual inheritance. But besides that, they didn't do a thing to deserve it. It is theirs because they have been birthed into our family. Now, here's the deal. Do you know that in the scripture, the Bible said that of God's own will, did he give birth to you into the kingdom of God? Do you know that he sought you and purchased you and redeemed you? And when you gave your life to Christ, you became a child of the living God. You became born of God. And do you know the Bible also says that you're not only born of God, you've been adopted as sons and daughters? Do you understand? You have an inheritance as a child of God. He said, and that inheritance is a promise, the promise left to Abraham. And Jesus said, when I hung on that cross, I redeemed you. I redeemed you from the curse. And when our son was diagnosed with something under that curse, we said, we're going to make a stand of faith and we're going to believe God. And we're going to pray and walk in faith in this regard. Pastor, he said, what if nothing ever changed in your son's life? What would you do? I'd still be doing everything I knew to do to honor God with my faith. Why? Because this isn't about me getting something. Faith pleases God. If God is the Lord of my life, then I live to please him. And walking in these regards is an action of utter humility. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, that I walk by faith and not by sight. Now let's get into the naked faith part, all right? Let's strip it down and see what it really looks like. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 is the story of how God brought to Abram and Sarai a child when they were in their old age. Sarai had never been able to bear children, ever. Abraham and she could not have kids. Now she's 90 years old. She's way past menopause. It's impossible to have a child. And yet God promises them a child through their union. Now, how many of you know that's impossible? How many of you know if God spoke that to you right now? I got to tell you, if I'm 90 and God says, John, I'm giving you a child, I'm saying, you can have him. I don't know if I want me one of those at 90. But God made promise to Abraham, and this is an incredible thing. I want you to see in Romans 4 how we are told to mimic the faith of Abraham. It's interesting to me as Christians, we're not only told to walk what Jesus said to do and follow Jesus, we are told to follow the faith of Abraham. Do you know the Bible calls him the father of your faith? Look here in Romans 4, verse 12. Then we're going to skip down to verse 16. Look at verse 12. And the father of the circumcision. When you see the word circumcision, it's another way to say Jew, because it was the mark of the covenant. And the father of the Jew, Abraham, to those who are not only of the circumcision or the Gentile, but those who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had before he was even circumcised. In other words, he said this, you are to walk in the same steps of faith that Abraham took. I remember as a kid when I was little and my dad would be outside in the snow I was just a little kid. And how many of you just have memories that just pop up in your head about when you were little and you don't remember anything about it, but just remember this fragment. I remember my dad would be outside and he'd be walking. Of course, he was a large man. He would take these long strides. And I couldn't have been more than, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8. And I was trying for my feet to follow his. And I tried to go. How many of you ever did that when you were little, tried to follow someone else's footsteps in the snow? Now, if their gait is the size of your gait, you know you can get pretty good at it. But my dad's gait was so long, I couldn't reach. And I couldn't follow his footsteps. I couldn't put my foot into his footprint. But we are told in Scripture that we are to put our foot right where Abraham's foot went in his steps of faith. Now, if you don't know what those steps are, then how can you walk this out? Now, let's go on reading. This is Romans 4. Now, go down to verse 16. Therefore it, and now in this context, he's talking about receiving righteousness by faith. Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, let me go back again to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 29 said this, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, and you're an heir according to the promise. How many of you belong to Christ? Are you Abraham's seed? Are you an heir according to the promise? He's talking about receiving the promises of God. He said, it is a faith that it might be by grace that the promise might be assured to all, not only those of the law, but also who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What does he mean by that? He said, receiving the promise is by believing, because believing requires the grace of God. In other words, if it's not that way, the promise is not assured to everybody. Here's why. The grace of God means you don't deserve it. That means, like my children, Michelle and our kids will receive our inheritance not because they deserve it, but because they've been birthed by us. God says, these things belong to you not because of who you are, but because of who I am. Not because of your love for me, but because of my love for you. Not because you sought me, but because I sought you. Not because you went from earth to heaven to drag me down, but because I went from heaven to earth to redeem you. And he said, I ask simply that you believe what I said. And it's by the grace of God, you don't earn it, you believe it, and I show up in your life. That way the promise is assured to all. Because can I tell you this? If it's not that way, then God would be unjust. Let me explain why. Michelle and I, we don't have a perfect marriage. We're not perfect people. That's a fact. But generally speaking, in our 26 plus years of marriage, we've had a solid Christian home. We've loved each other. We've gone through things that we've laughed. We've cried together. We've gone through life together. And our kids have been fortunate to grow up in a home with a godly mom, a mom that loved God, a mom that prays. Our kids have been fortunate to grow up in a home where their father loves God. None of us are perfect. We love each other. So my kids have grown up in a pretty, pretty good environment. Now, it doesn't mean they have their stuff like everybody else. But let me take you to families that I know through 30 plus years of ministry who didn't grow up that way. And they've got some messed up stuff in their life because they're in so much pain. They're in 30 different kinds of pain. They don't even know how to find the pain. Abandoned by their parents, left or abused physically, abused sexually, horribly treated. I was in a meeting one time where a man was explaining how he was beaten with barbed wire by his father in an attic. It's horrific. It's hard to wrap your mind around this. Now, that young man grows up. He's addicted in 20 different ways. He's in 30 different kinds of pain. And now he comes to God, and he wants to receive from God. But he's so messed up, he can't see straight. And so a Christian comes up to him and says, well, you need to stop this, and you need to change that, and you need to be better at this, and you need to quit that, and you need, and you need, and you, and before long, it's you. And that person says, I want to love God. I want to serve God, but they're broken. And it would be like one of my kids going to that person saying, I don't understand the way you are. My kids haven't had 30 minutes of what that person has had for a lifetime. That's why a godly household is so important. Don't you think for a minute the fight you're winning is just about you. There's children on the other side of this that may never have to live in that kind of heartache if you'll stop that trail of misery by you following Jesus in your life. That's why we reach the whole family in this church unapologetically. We go after kids, we go after youth, we go after 20-somethings, and we do it passionately, we do it whatever it takes, we're gonna go get them. We're gonna reach the family, because boy, it matters. But God's saying this, no matter how you got how you are, no matter what stuff is in your life, this promise is assured to you. It's assured to you because it is by grace through faith. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. My children have no greater standing with God because they grew up in a godly home than someone who grew up in the most messed up world imaginable. When they come to God, they're washed in the same blood. God sees them the same in Christ. The problem is we don't see ourselves in Christ. We disqualify ourselves. When we don't walk by faith and grace, we immediately try to let me say it this way. When we go to seek God and receive from God, we immediately try to qualify ourselves. I did this, I didn't do that, I should have done that. And what you end up doing, if you ever start that way, you'll never qualify yourself. 100 times out of 100, 100% of the time, you will disqualify yourself because you will never merit the blessing of God. You will never merit the promise of God. You are not an heir of God because of what you've done. You're an heir of God because of who has birthed you. You are a child of God. You have been born of God. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You have been set apart. You are, the Bible said, a set apart people that should show forth the praises of Him that has called you out of darkness into His glorious light. That's who you are. Abraham and Sarah made a decision that they were going to walk in this promise. Now look down into verse 17. Now it's telling the story of how it happened. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is God speaking. I have made you a father of many nations. God speaking to Abraham and Sarah. I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of the God in him, the God in whom he believed. Even God, the God who gives life to the dead and the God who calls those things which do not exist as though they already existed. Look at verse 17 closely with me. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, if you think just naturally, you would think that would be God speaking to Abraham after the miracle child Isaac has been born, but it's not. God called him a father of many nations before he had children. God called what was not as though it already were. Faith calls things which are not present as though they already were, according to the Word of God. Faith does not deny reality. Faith changes reality. Faith does not deny the present circumstances. Faith takes the Word of God and humbles yourself to what God said in the face of contrary evidence, in the face of contradictory circumstances. Verse 17 again, God has said, as it is written, He said, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, the God who gives life to the dead. Aren't you glad he gives life to dead things? And the God who calls things which do not exist as though they already did. Here's the deal. Well, that's God. That's not me. Well, let's go on reading. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Another translation said, all reasons for natural hope were gone. Ever been there in life? When all reasons to be hopeful naturally have been taken away from you, Abraham and Sarah had no hope to have children at this point. All hope had been gone. And then went on to say, and contrary to hope, and hope believed so that he might become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. Everyone say weak in faith. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now here, this is so important, verse 20. He did not stagger or waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and in being fully convinced or persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. The promise belongs to you because of the inheritance. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Here's the deal. But the promise can be staggered at. It's not whether God gives the answer or not. It's can I receive it or not? I can tell you in my life, after being a Christian these many years, I've staggered at the promises of God many times in my life. I'd love to tell you that every time that we fought the fight of faith in an area, that we won that battle. We haven't. So does that make you feel bad? No, it makes me feel human. How many of you are human? Okay, how many of you aren't? Okay, well, sorry, don't elbow your spouse right there. That's not good, all right? So here's the deal. They chose not to consider their circumstances. Now, what did they do? Well, let me delineate the steps they took. And if you're willing to follow these steps, then the promise can be assured to you as well. Look at Genesis 17. Verse 1 through 5, then we'll read verse 15. Now, this is not a misprint when it says Abram. When Abram was 99 years old, everybody say Abram. Abram. That was his name for 99 years. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between you and me and will multiply you exceedingly. What tense is that? Future. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Shall be, what tense? Future tense. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. What tense is that? Past. God went from future tense to past tense in one word, and the word is Abraham. The word Abraham means a father of many nations. Look what he does for Sarai, his wife. Verse 15. And God said to Abraham, you'll never see him referred again to Abram. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai. You shall not call her. Listen to me. You shall not call her Sarai. But Sarah shall her name be called. And I will bless her and give her a son by her. And then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. The word Sarah means the mother of the prince. At 99 and 90 years old, God commanded them to change what they said about themselves. God changed their name to call that which was not as though it already were. When Abram changed his name at 99 years old, because God said, call yourself Abraham, call her Sarah. He had to make a decision to obey God. I don't know if there'd be anything harder to change than what you call someone you've known for that long. Now, just think of John Spencer down here. John's what, 109? Well, that's all right. He married Kathy when she was just a kid. So Kathy's just, she's married to an old guy. But let's just, John Spencer, 109 years old. I've been teasing John Spencer for 30 years being old. Why? Because he's older than me. But here's the deal. So from right now, I say, now, John, from now on, your name is Pete. Now, how many of you know him as John or Pastor John? Anybody? Okay. How many of you walk up to him and go, Pastor John? He says, nope, it's Pete. Kathy goes, John, Pete. It's Pete, baby. Pete, Pete, Pete. And Kathy's no longer Kathy. She's Alice. Pete and Alice. How many of you know a million times he'd go, Kathy, Alice. They had to willfully choose in the face of impossibility to call those things which were not present as though they were, the same way God did. Every time he said Sarah, he said mother of the prince. Every time she said Abraham, she said, you are a father of many nations, and they had no kids. Faith calls that which is not present as though it already were, according to the word of God. Faith doesn't deny reality. God didn't change their names to mean I'm not old. Right? Because they were old. Faith doesn't deny reality. We didn't deny our child was sick. We went through every medical procedure. We went on a placebo Ritalin experiment. And in fact, at least at that time, what we were told from over at Rainbow's Children's Hospital over in Cleveland, who was this wonderful older lady who was one of the pioneers studying autism. We was the first one that they did. She said they'd ever put on the experiment. And we did everything we knew to help our son. So please don't misinterpret this. There was nothing they could do. And they did everything they could, and they were wonderful people. The medical people were wonderful to us, and the school district, oh man, it's a great, Pennsylvania is a great place if you have special needs in your family. It's a great place. People complain about a lot of stuff, but let me tell you something. If you have special needs in your home, how many of you know Pennsylvania is a great state to be in? Thank God for that. It really is. And I'm telling you, we are grateful for that. That early intervention, everything they tried to do, we're very thankful for that. But it was like a squirt gun in a bonfire. And in the face of impossibility, when we had hands laid on our son and we had him prayed for, he got worse and he got worse. And we had to make a decision. Are we going to humble ourselves and say what God says about our son? Or are we going to say what we feel, what we see, and what's forecasted for his future? Because there is no hope. There's no hope. And we had to make a decision, and it never felt good. I have to tell you, it never felt right to us. At 2 or 3 in the morning when he would wake up every night, almost literally every night, and scream. And I don't mean whine like an 18-month-old would. I mean scream. For an hour, hour and a half, sometimes longer, scream. And we'd be crying. It was difficult. But I can remember holding right here, Michelle hold him, and she would say, in the name of Jesus, it's well with you. In your pathway is life, and there is no death. I thank you, Father God, that he's healed by the power of God. See, why would you say that? Because humility responds to the word of God and says, let God be true. No matter what we feel, let's say what God says and honor our God, and let's believe the word of God over his life. I have to tell you, when he was about 4 years old, and they do all the assessments and all the tests with kids, you know, particularly when you're in early intervention, and we were, you know, we got the report back. They assessed the child, and he stopped developing at 18 months. I think he was 4 years old in 1 month. We got the report back, and it literally graphs their development. 4 years old, 1 month, the graph said 18 months everywhere. Now, I got to tell you, that wasn't real encouraging. But you have to have a different report than what you see, feel, and hear. See, Pastor John, what if nothing ever changed for you? What would you all be doing? I'd be doing my best to honor God and walk in faith where our son's concerned and believing for endless possibilities. Why do you do that? Because let God, I want to honor God with my life. So, well, you're going to give people false hope. Really? God's a false hope. This world's a false hope. Let God be, listen, I'd love to tell you we've won every faith battle in our life. We haven't. That's why it's called the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. But God told Abram and Sarai to change this. Say what I say about you. The God who calls, the God who makes alive dead things. That's how he identified himself. I'm the God that makes alive dead things. And I'm the God, this is God's MO. I call things which are not present as though they were. And then he commanded Abram and Sarai to do the very same thing. And you and I are commanded to walk in the same steps of faith. That means you've got to say what God says about you in the face of contradictory circumstances. That means when your kids look like they're going south, you have to say, Father, I thank you that my children are upright and will walk with you all the days of their life. You've got to pronounce the blessing of God over them when they're acting like a curse. Doesn't mean you don't deal with issues. You can't let everybody, people just say, they curse their own children. I'll tell you, they'll be lucky they don't know them and end up in prison. Really? If they ever needed anybody in that situation to stand and believe God over them, you've got to say what God says over your marriage, over your kids, over your finances, over your heart, over every part of your life. And it's not, well, you just, I love this one. You one of those name it, claim it people. You a blab it, grab it her. No. It's called walking by faith and not by sight. It's called pleasing God. It doesn't take any effort to run down, jump in the stream and head with the current. That's not a fight at all, is it? That's a journey. But at the end of that stream, I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to teach you how to do it. I want you to learn how to walk with God in everyday life, letting the Word of God dwell richly in your heart, letting it governing your everyday life, translating what this book says into your everyday vernacular. You no longer talk about, I just wish the checkbook would last as long as the month. Seen gas prices? Well, they've gone down, praise God. Something else will go up to make it even. You watch, the washer will break. You watch. Why don't you agree with God? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. You don't go run around. You don't meet people in the mall and go, hey, I'm the head and not the tail. They go, hey, help me. The Bible says if you have faith, have it between you and God. This isn't for running around telling people. They'll just think you're crazy. And a lot of times people do that because they think, well, God will have to do it because I've told everybody. That's not how faith works. God's never been blackmailed, okay? It doesn't work that way. And he's not withholding any from you. The promise is not given. The promise is received. Oh, I don't know how to. I wish I had language. Pastor Chris, would you stand right up here for me, please? This Bible is the promise of God. Bible says God is an open-handed giver. It's his right now. It belongs to him. I said it's yours. It's his. Now, he has to take it. Now, if he stands there and never takes this, it isn't God. The promise has to be received. It has to be taken. There's an action of faith by the grace of God required on the part of the believer. It's required. Thank you. You give my Bible back. Don't be taking my Bible. Take Pastor Steve's Bible. Can you put that selfie up of him one more time as we close? Oh, that just changed your life. Thank you. Oh, Steve Moore, you're a good man when you sleep, I'll tell you. All right. Guys, you can live this life. Listen, you can live this life. You can live this life. It's for everyday life people. People with stuff in their life. Anybody have some stuff? Anybody married to stuff? Yeah, I knew that one would get better. All right, so let me pray for you. Let's believe God together. Let's fight through life together. Let's walk by faith together as a church family. Let's learn to walk these things out. Next week, I'm going to take you into the prayer of faith. And then we have family Christmas coming up, Christmas Eve services. And the month of January is going to be incredible. First weekend of January in the month, we're having Doug Jones here. The next weekend, Joe McGee. I'll tell you more about them. If you don't know these guys, I'm telling you, we are going to start the new year out with an absolute bomb. It's going to be a blast. You get ready because 2015, you're going to walk in the blessing that belongs to you, aren't you? I said, you're going to walk in the blessing that belongs to you, aren't you? Yes. Yes, let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your wonderful grace, your kindness, your mercy. Oh, you are so good. Lord, I pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. There are so many people here, Lord, that all of us have things in our life that we think can disqualify us. Help us to understand that you've qualified us. You've made us, the Bible says, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Father, I thank you for that. I pray your blessing to abound upon every person. I pray that their faith would not fail, that they would abound toward you, and that all of us would humble ourselves and seek to walk by faith and not by sight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you've never given your life to Christ, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Right where you're seated, I'll pray for you. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. You can begin this journey of walking with God. What an incredible way to live. Not religion, but reality with God. Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. And he died to redeem people like you and me. Going to church won't make you right with God. It's fine to go to church. Any sacrament of a church, including this one, none of them will make you right with God. Only giving your life to Jesus. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you'd say to me, Pastor John, I don't know that if I died right now where I'd spend my eternity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Pastor, include me in that prayer, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray out loud together with you right where you're at. I'm not going to single you out. This isn't a time to embarrass you. It's a time between you and God to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Please, please include me. I want to make Jesus my Savior. I don't know that I've ever done that. I want to know. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, right where you're seated. Would you right now lift your hand up where I can see it? Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you so much. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. I want to be certain. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. One last time as I look around this auditorium, if you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me. I can see you're not going to embarrass anybody. Pray for me as well. I want to receive Christ. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Now listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No, not to the end of the earth. Pray this where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am heaven bound, and I boldly confess Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give him a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.